Hello, everybody. This is Ron LeGrand, and we are in another series of our student interviews today. And today I have with me Aaron and Andrew Slag. And instead of me trying to tell you who they are, I think they're probably a little bit better qualified to do that than I am. So welcome, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Hey,
thanks,
Ron.
For having us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, fortunately for you guys, you don't have to try to figure out which one of these people are which, since we're only hearing them. I have this trouble every time I get them in a room. However, I think I'm getting good enough now to identify them after how many years, guys? 2 years or whatever?
Okay. Three.
It's been three since you've known Andy.
Well, I hear you, but you've got to think of my age. All right, well, we got a short time together, so I want to get as much in as I can. So let's start with where you guys live and work and pretty much describe your business and tell me what you're doing right now.
Excellent. You want to start, Andrew?
So we are originally from southern Illinois, Belrive, Illinois, but due to our town being a town of 400 people, we ended up driving 100 miles across into Indiana, where our business has been started, and that's where we're doing business, doing pretty houses, ugly houses, rehab flips, and wholesale flips, a little bit of everything.
Whole works, huh? What's the population where you're at now?
Whole area is about 500,000. The town is 150,000.
Oh, that's plenty big enough. Plenty big enough.
Sir.
You can pretty much own that place. All right?
Yes, sir.
So you do all of these kinds of deals. How long
ago
since you graduated out of the Quick Start School?
April will be 3 years, so a little over 2.5 years ago.
So 2.5 years? All right. Well, here's another question.
Yes,
how many times have you been to the Quick Start School?
I've been three since.
Three since? Okay. So about one a year?
Yes.
All right. So why do you keep coming back?
Well, always get another good nugget of advice.
All right. You guys are masters too, aren't you?
Yes,
yes,
sir.
And you went through our mentoring program as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. With a couple.
That is correct.
Did you do that one time or two times?
I believe we just done that once.
All right. Well, tell me, your business today, what do you specialize in most, pretty houses or ugly houses, or do you kind of mix them up both?
We're doing about half of each right now. For the first couple of years, we've done mainly pretty houses. The last while, we've been doing a few more uglies and rehabs and quite a few wholesales. Those have been, we've just had a lot more of those deals lately.
And before I go any further, I think we probably ought to tell our listeners you guys' age.
Sure.
I'm Andrew, and I'm 24.
I'm Aaron, and I'm 27.
Okay. So it ain't like you had a whole lot of years of experience behind you. So when I first met you, what were you, in grade school or what? I don't remember.
I was almost to the eighth grade, yeah. No.
Okay. All right. Well, how many deals are you guys doing on average, I don't know, per month or per year, however you can identify it right now?
Per year, we've been averaging about 50. We're slowing our average down now. If the middle of this year, but yeah, that's what we've been averaging, 50 a year,
one a week.
Yeah. Well, explain then. 50. How many of those are pretty? How many of them are rehabs?
About 85, between 85 and 90% of those are pretty, and between 10 and 15% were rehabs, and then
enough, wholesales,
and a couple of wholesales.
Okay. We should probably describe what a pretty house deal is in case we have listeners who don't really understand what we're talking about. Doesn't necessarily mean that the house is all that pretty, but it does mean it comes with terms. So terms is a synonym for the pretty house business. And in the ugly house business, we pay cash and then we rehab them or wholesale them. Sometimes you guys wholesale them before you buy them or buy them then wholesale them?
Both.
Both?
We've done both.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Frequently, we always close on them, but frequently we do get them under contract. And before we even close on our contract, we'll have an earnest money down from a buyer. So.
Right. So you flip them without taking title to them.
Yes.
What's your average profit on the wholesale deals when you do them?
Wholesale deals, we're averaging just under 10,000.
Okay. And what's your average front end from your deposit on your lease option deals when you lease option them to tenant buyers?
Our average front end is 9,000.
9,000? And what price range house would that be, average?
Our average is about $100,000 home.
So you're down on the low side of the pretty house business, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. We are. Yeah. Hopefully changing that. We've done a couple of much nicer ones, two and 300 this year, and looking to hopefully start focusing on that a little more, even if it means a little less volume.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean less volume. It just means you have to focus on targeting those houses instead of targeting the cheap ones. There's
right.
just as many of those out there as there are the cheap ones, frankly. But tell our listening audience what happens when you sell a $250,000 house compared to a $100,000 house as it relates to down payments.
Well, the last one we sold, not the last one, but the one before, it's about a $200,000 area, and we got $40,000 down payment.
Uh-huh.
Brought,
it did the same amount of work we do when we get $9,000. So.
Okay, yeah. So which one of those two is better? You need a minute, I'll wait.
The more zeros, the better. Exactly.
So you mean the more dollars you waller in, the more stick to you? Is that what you're saying?
Seems that way.
It can happen that way.
Okay.
Was it
any more work to do the 200 than it was the 100?
No.
No, it wasn't.
In fact, did
Actually,
it take
it
any more time?
Simpler.
Simpler?
Probably
Why?
A little less. It seems like the buyer and the seller was everything moved quicker.
Moved quicker because that's the where you live. That's the target price where people want to live outside of the low mm-hmm. income areas and in the nicer neighborhoods, right?
Exactly
that's
right.
Yeah.
And you discovered that people looking for those type of houses, 200 and above, actually are running around with more money in their hands, huh?
Correct.
Especially when you can put them in the house on a lease purchase that doesn't require them going down to the bank right away and get a loan.
Exactly.
And nobody has to do any repairs most of the time. Okay? So your goal for the year coming up is to do more of those and less of the lower ends, right?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
Because you've heard me say a half a dozen times that once you pop a $50,000 check, you won't want any more tens. Does that have anything to do with it?
Seems to be a big difference, yeah.
Okay. But, look, you come from a low-income area. You currently work in a low-income area. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And, therefore, your mindset can easily become a low-income mindset if you don't guard against it and constantly be exposed to other deals and keep coming back and being constantly reminded that there are better ways to make a living than deal with $100,000 houses. Would you agree with that?
I would say that's one huge thing about the quick start, and not only the quick start, but also the business management, the other ones that come with the master's mm-hmm. deal, is every time I come around and hear you talking, it always encourages me to move in that right direction, and it's usually been changing our business.
So coming up, your goal is to do more of the 40s and less of the 9s.
Yes, correct.
However, you're still not convinced you can do the same quantity of deals dealing in those than you can the low ones. However, you
correct.
Will be soon. So the goal is to target the higher ones by either using FSBO sign field agents, people running around in those areas looking for FSBO signs, and direct mailing yellow letters into those areas. Is that what you're going to do?
Yes.
Are you guys using yellow letters now?
We have done, it's been about a month and a half since we sent our last batch out due to, honestly, from the FSBOs, field agent type deal, and the FHO that I've shared, the fasthomeoffer.com that we get some of our leads through. Between those two, we were getting, in fact, I just got a call again on about a $320,000 home in Newburgh, five bedroom, three bath with a pool, exact range we're targeting. We're getting quite a few of those leads from that direction, and so I have not actually had to do yellow letters for the last 6 weeks.
So you don't mail them. You don't have to mail them. You got all leads you can handle. You don't need to spend money on mail, right?
Exactly.
All right, what was that website again you talked about?
FastHomeOffer.com.
Okay, why do you like that?
I like it because although the leads are very expensive, about one out of every seven houses we buy.
What are you paying for leads on that?
Per call, it's between, depending on the area, ours is $85. Depends on the area. It can be $100, $110 per call that you get in. But if you buy every seventh house, you know, that's...
So these are, I mean, these are these are pre-screen leads that you know have a house for sale. I mean, why for that price, which is going to shock most of our listeners, why is it worth it?
Well, for somebody to get to this website, they have to Google "sell my house quick, your city," or something of that nature. So by the time they've Googled that and traced down this website and put their information in, they're usually fairly motivated, and you can work something out with them. If, you know, a lot
of
them when you work.
I got it. So you've learned that they're pretty motivated sellers, and you're actually buying one out of seven of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying $600 or so for the leads to buy one house.
Yep.
And
that is where we're getting more $200,000 and $300,000 homes than any other place.
So you're paying $600 to get $30,000 to $40,000. I'm not sure that'll work, but I'll run it through the computer. But honestly, that's math that most business owners just will not allow themselves to think about, guys. You got to know that. And that's inside and outside of real estate. You know, some businesses actually think that getting customers is free. And it is true. Some of them are free. But a business that is not willing to spend money to generate quality customers is a business that's always going to be on the receiving end of whatever comes and not in control of their own destiny. And the fact that you decided to just use that site and pay that price and test it out says something about your entrepreneurial spirit. And I think we've already established that you guys are headed for big things in your business. So before I get off of it, let's talk about these rehabs. What's your average profit when you buy a rehab and resell it? Cash.
Well, it's kind of depressing right now. We've only been doing about $25,000 on a rehab, but we're hoping to
turn that around
and doing a little bit better on that.
So you think $25,000 net profit is depressing, huh?
Very depressing considering
okay.
The wholesale tend to
considering the amount of work and time we have to put into it.
Yeah.
Is that probably only because you heard me tell you that I don't want to do them if they're not at least $50,000 in them, or is there another reason?
That has something to do with it.
Come on, you're not using your money. You're not using your credit. You're borrowing it from private lenders, right?
Correct.
And you've hung around me long enough to stay the hell out of the rehab process yourself and let the contractor handle it and get other people involved in it. So what's wrong with 25? I'm not telling you you shouldn't go for a hire, but come on. How many of those should you be doing a month at 25 grand a pop?
Probably more than we're doing.
Right. Maybe even one a month?
Correct.
So that your rehab business alone should be netting you $250,000 before we even talk about all this pretty house stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if you want to know the truth, I'm trying to get the same machine going right now myself. I'd like to do two a month. And right now, today, I'm about the same economic climate you are. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. My median price home is $185,000. Do you know what yours is?
We're in the lower, I'm going to say 140-ish.
We're not too far apart. To net more than 25 and shoot for higher for than 50 just means you're probably going to have to work a little harder to get only the best deals, and you might have to move it up a notch. I'm guessing your average sales price is below 100 on those, isn't it?
On the rehabs?
Yeah.
Our average, it's right around that, around 100.
I would probably move that up and try to get more into the $100,000, $150,000 Rs, because that's actually where I'm at. And I'm not telling you I make 50 grand on every one of them, because sometimes I only make 40, and life sucks, but I try to shoot for 50. But you get the message. Do one a month. For 25 grand and work that on up to where you get, I don't know, even to 35 grand. And what is that per year? Over almost $500,000, isn't it? Just on the ugly houses, which you can do in your sleep as long as you learn how to do them without getting personally involved in the rehabs, which will drag you down.
Very true. The main difference,
All right. How long did it take you guys to get your first deal after you came from my first Quick Start school?
Brian Lynette helped me make the call and buy the first wholesale deal when I was at the first Quick Start school in April of 2014.
Oh, you already got one. You got one done while you were at the boot camp, huh?
Well, you said before I come to mail out yellow letters and put out some signs, and I had put out one handwritten sign, and I had sent out between 600 and 800 yellow letters, and somebody called in from the sign while I was there, and we closed the deal.
No kidding. And that deal actually did go through, and you made 10 grand on it. Is that what you said?
No, that one only made three or four, but it was the first one, so it was still exciting.
Paid for the boot camp, didn't it?
Yeah.
So what you said was bringing leads to the boot camp pays for the boot camp.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
But I'm going to correct what you said. I did not tell you to put out a sign, so wash your mouth out. For the sake of our listeners, that's illegal. But no, I'm not telling you that people aren't doing it. But
I've seen it in a magazine somewhere one time. Huh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you learned that from the other guy, I know. It's not that I've not done it, but... you don't need to do it. With all the cool stuff you learned today, you really don't need to do it. All right, so you guys, are you a two-man operation? Are you having employees, and do you have an office?
We do have an office, and we do have, technically we have one employee, but we really have about four.
We have one full-time employee that works on-site all the time, 40 hours a week, and then the others work off-site remotely. We have a full-time guy that oversees, like, on our pretty houses, oversees any maintenance, stuff like that. And then we have Michelle, who handles all of our marketing off-site, also handles some of our paperwork, clerical work, stuff like that.
And back up on the guy that's full-time to oversee a lot of the houses and work on them, we're still holding... on the pretty houses, we're still holding about 75 of those, and so we have
holding them, meaning you have lease option tenant buyers in them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And of course, they're responsible for all their own repairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what maintenance are we talking about?
Well, it's November, and we just had about 8 of them go vacant.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well. It could be either way.
It'll be a good thing once tax time comes by.
Yeah.
Well, are you concerned about getting them refilled when you don't have to do anything but lease option them?
Oh, absolutely
no,
not.
No, that won't be a problem at all.
Very quick and easy process.
All right. So, again, maintenance. What does this guy do? Go out and clean them up?
Yeah, he cleans them up, gets the carpet guy in, gets the painters in, takes care of all of that. I've also got some apartments, a whole other set of deal in Kentucky, and he helps maintenance them.
Oh, I got it. Okay. And
yeah. So he kind of does several things for us.
Would you agree that the reason these houses went vacant is they're at the bottom end and the buyers had very little skin in the game?
Every one of them, yes. Yep.
Absolutely.
Every single one of them.
All right.
Ones who have put down larger amounts, if they have been not a problem.
So when somebody gives you 25 grand, you kind of hope it comes up vacant. Is that what you're saying?
Unfortunately, never has.
Okay, so I brought that up for a reason. Because when you say I just had 8 houses come up vacant, that's going to give some of our listeners the heebie-jeebies.
Sure.
So I need to clearly understand why, and I can tell you why, because I did what you're doing for 25 years before I figured it out, and that is you deal in the low-end crap, you're going to get the low-end crap buyers. And
most of the buyers had anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 skin in the game. So,
okay,
yeah,
so we just identified the problem, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
2,000 to 4,000 is not skin in the game. I mean, that's nothing to me. So from now on, the minimum, whatever you do, the minimum you should accept is $10,000 from a tenant buyer. And I'll tell you for a fact that even some of your most of your cheaper houses, you can get that if you're patient. So. You've learned to make sure you buy time when you buy it before your payment starts, so you've got plenty of time to market it and try to get as much as you can. But, of course, you didn't know all of that, and as beginners, the first person to come along with $2,000 or $3,000, you put them in the house. Is that a pretty good assumption?
It's a perfect assumption.
That sums it up.
Okay, so we call that training. All right, so you've got a full-time guy that takes care of all your mistakes.
Yeah,
no better way. But he also takes care of your apartments, right?
Yeah,
which
yes, he does.
Requires somebody on. So that's why you got the full-time guy, because you really wouldn't need him if you were just doing houses, would you?
That's correct.
No, that's correct.
would probably just have some contractor available that you could call that could go clean up the house for you and not have to worry about a full-time payroll.
Correct.
Yes.
So, what did you say the other two people did? You got a bookkeeper. That's certainly part-time, very part-time.
Yeah. Bookkeeper runs the website, takes care of all of that.
And the third one?
The third, well, he's not an employee. We do some a separate business over in Louisville, Kentucky. Basically, hands off house flipping business, and he oversees all those renovations because that's about 150 miles from here.
All right. And then, who is your acquisitionist? One of you?
Yeah. Yes. Aaron and I kind of tag team it. So I do a lot of closing calls. He does a lot of the deal meetings.
All right. And how many hours a week would you guys say you actually put into real estate business each?
Well, due to probably not being as staffed at some points as we should be or as automated, a lot more than I'd like to admit. We do a lot of our ugly houses we find on auction sites and on MLS and stuff, so we spend quite a bit of time searching up those houses and personally getting all the closing documents ready and things of that nature that we probably more than we should. So quite a few hours still to this point.
I didn't hear an answer.
I'm spending about 60 hours a week in our real estate business. Andrew, how many are you spending right now?
It's hard to say. More than I should.
Okay.
And you both, of course, will confess that that's about three times more than you should be spending.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically,
you're working toward getting automated so that you don't have to do almost anything?
Yes. Hopefully by middle of next year is our goal, about 6 more months to have more everything in place.
Are you using Pat Live to take inbound calls from sellers?
Yes.
So you don't do that. Are you using our IVR system to take calls from buyers?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't even do that. But then one of you has to then pick up the phone and call the buyers with money.
Correct.
And do that back end stuff. Of course, you know their PAs can do that for you. Are you using our VAs to make the calls for you?
No, the full-time employee in the office does all the pre-screening calls, buyers and sellers.
Okay. So who does all the other grunt work? Same person? Or you?
Yeah. Well,
which?
Well, it's team effort. I personally go out and visit a lot of the bank-owned houses still, and a lot of the properties we put offers in on and things of that nature.
You look at these houses before you make the offers, or after they get accepted?
Well, some of the auction site and sheriff sales, we have to look at them before we do it because you got to pay for them that day.
You mean the day you win the auction?
Correct.
Are you sure?
No.
Sheriff sales, you might. That's foreclosure
auctions
we're talking about. But anything on auction.com, I know that's not the case, or any most of the.
Okay.
I can't imagine why you had to pay for them that day unless your city requires it, and that would only be on a foreclosure auction. We have to do the same here.
Okay.
In Florida.
I bet that's what it is then. Okay. Yeah, and auction.com, I guess you're right. I had not realized you put that part together.
You've got 30 days to close on that thing and most of the other sites. However, if you bid on a share sale, you got to close that day. You better get your butt out there and look at it before you make the offer.
Yeah.
Okay. It is time-consuming, but I think you will confess that somebody could easily be trained to do that too because it is a time waster.
Very easily.
Honestly, it's the reason I don't buy share of sales here. It's just too much upfront grunt work, mostly all for naught because, you know, you buy them very sparsely, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. We get a lot more a lot of other ways. It's probably much more efficient.
Yeah, well, I learned the same thing. All right, so tell me, what was your biggest obstacle when you got started and what did you do to overcome it?
Probably kind of a twofold answer. I think probably the two hardest things, which it actually helped me get better pre-screening, was, of course, being 100 miles from our farm area.
being in a town of 400 people, you know, we drove away. So that took us a little while to break through that. But again, I just maybe get a lot better at pre-screening before I drove 100 miles to buy a house. And the second thing I would say, it always being, you know, always being around, never having been around somebody with a business mindset like yourself or, you know, some of the others that you I've grown to know since becoming to know you, was probably difficult to overcome that whole mindset of, you know, thinking that it was doable or possible for me type of thing. Mm-hmm. I always say a lot of prayer and hard work and hanging around Ron and you know, Brian Lynette, the whole crew and the other people that I've met now through that has seriously changed my life in a major way and helped me to realize that it is attainable and reachable.
Did you have people telling you you're crazy for doing it?
Definitely had some discouragers, yes. Yeah, but they ain't no more.
Okay. Were any of your dream stealers qualified to even give you any of this valuable advice?
Well, they was all broke or below, yeah.
Okay.
Not at all.
So broke people trying to tell you how to get rich, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's shocking, right?
So tell me, guys, how much of your money or credit do you use today to run your business?
For the single-family house business, basically none.
Because you get terms deals that don't require your money, and when you buy cash deals, right. You use private lenders, right?
Yes.
Did you believe that would work when you first started?
Well, I didn't know no better, so I actually kind of did. I didn't know how, but I figured.
At your age, I believe that. Okay.
I figured if you told me, it must be true. That's before I learned that some people tell you lies.
Oh, really? They do that in Indiana too? Okay.
Yeah, no,
all right, so you don't use your money, you don't use your credit, so therefore you're not putting yourself in harm's way. All right, so let me ask you this one. Do you close with attorneys like I told you to or not?
Yes, we do.
You do? All right. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that'll keep you out of trouble legally. And you,
a lot of
so
times.
You got the right paperwork.
That's huge. Yeah.
All right. On a pretty house deal, from the time you put it under contract to the time you get a check, what do you think your average turnaround time would be?
Between 60 and 90 days, usually. By the time we put it under contract, get the seller moved out, get a buyer in.
Okay. Well, then let me rephrase. From the time the seller moves out and you take control of the house, what are we talking about?
Oh,
60 days tops.
Yeah, I'd say probably average 30 days.
I think we're average 30.
About 30 days? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do to find buyers?
We use a lot of Facebook advertising. We do a lot of target marketing there. Also, we use a lot of Craigslist ads. We do use the yellow signs in our yards that are similar to the I Buy Houses cash signs, only they say rent to own a beautiful home. We use those signs.
Our highest number of calls come from signs. Our second highest number of calls comes from Craigslist, and our third number of calls comes from Facebook.
Correct.
Okay, you're talking about the sign in front of the house now or the pointer signs pointing at the house, surrounding it?
We do both. Okay. Do anywhere from 3 to 10 signs per house, depending on, you know, the setting and what street.
And most of your calls come from those signs?
Yes.
Yes.
Just as you were told they would.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a percentage of calls coming from the signs opposed to the other things you do, like running the ads? You do run ads on Craigslist.
Yes.
We
run ads on Craigslist.
Cool. We get, let's see, looks like about 37-38% of our calls come from signs, about 40% comes from Craigslist, and about 25% comes from Facebook.
All right.
That's round.
That's a pretty good mix. And I would bet you if you increase your signs from 3 to 15, that average will drastically change.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, signs are cheap. Okay, so when your calls come in, you drive them into your interactive voice response system that's part of our package. And they leave their information.
Yeah.
And are you using our website with the buyer's list built to it?
Currently, no. We did use that. You all created it. But there's a local company that had come, and they offered
multiple services along with the website. And so anyway, we actually ended up going with them.
So you now have to take the information off the IVR and manually input it into your database. I assume you have a buyer's list database? Huh?
Yes. Yes, that's all done manually, which is highly inefficient, I will agree.
And cost you probably more to get that done than you're saving on the services that your local guy provided you.
I would say
Fess
you're
up.
Right.
Fess up. Okay. And
yeah, you're right.
And you
you're
lose
right.
the advantage of having the database tied to the website today.
Yeah.
When that's all put in, you guys need to get into our Dream system, get educated on it, because I tell you, once the thing goes in, it's in all the way through to the time and after you sell the property, and you can save yourself a lot of crap. I know it's a learning curve, but just do it and get automated. That whole process now becomes no manpower. Or very little manpower, and if you want, your BA can do that for you, or your full-time person, if you so suggest.
Okay.
Okay. So, what do you, besides dealing in higher-priced houses on the pretty outside, and probably even on the uglier outside, going forward, is that the only changes you're going to make to grow your business, or do you have other things in mind?
We're going to try to do not only. You know, higher price on both of those. It seems like lately we've had a high number of people looking to buy a wholesale just because of how good the market is. And, you know, they're so quick to do. It requires so little time. We're going to try to do a little bit more on the wholesale side as well. And then, of course, we're working on trying to get some more commercial. The long-term business plan is to hopefully get some self-storage and some more possibly mobile home parks.
I guess we can probably disclose here that you guys are Prosperity Partner Group members of mine, and we are partners on one deal so far. You want to tell them about that mobile home park you own?
Sure. Well, it appraised in 2011 for $695,000, if my memory serves me correctly, and we ended up we got it last year in the, earlier this year actually May of this year in the partnership program with y'all. We got it for $365,000, and it's 50% occupied, currently cash flow positive, and we're working on getting it filled up over the coming months and turning it into a cash cow.
And we bought that with a combination of somebody else borrowing some money and getting an small equity infusion from actually one of our students, huh?
A private lender. Yep, that is correct.
So your goal, how many spaces are in that park now?
60 spaces, 30 filled, 30 empty, approximately, within one or two.
So you got 30 of them are filled with trailers that came with the deal, and you've had some trailers removed because they were junk. So now we're working on a plan to actually buy new mobile homes and put them there and sell them with owner financing and keeping the pads. Does that sound right?
Correct.
In fact, we were working on that as late as an hour ago, weren't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You bought the thing for about half price. And is already cash flowing when you bought it, and there's a pretty large upside to it based largely on the exit strategy that we choose to take. We were going to actually condoize the lots and sell them off individually, but city didn't care much for that, and frankly, I'm kind of glad that you'll always, the way we're about to go about it, you'll always maintain that lot, and it'll be a cash flow forever, actually. And then we put a trailer on it, and it'll be another cash flow. So two cash flows out of one lot, that ain't a bad deal. So before it's over, that mobile home park will have a substantial increase in value. So you also like self-storage. You're looking for one of them in your area, because I wouldn't let you buy them out of your area.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And that is just a disclosure for that, for the sake of time. On the time we was mentioned of being spending, we have been talking to a lot of local realtors and spending quite a bit of time trying to search properties and possibilities for sort of some self-storage as well. So we've both been...
in our real estate business, that's been part of the time we've been spending as well.
But yes, about 15 miles from the office, we got our eye on a prospect. So
I like the two types of commercial property you've chosen, mobile home parks, where I don't worry about collecting rent because I got their house. One way or another, we're going to collect that rent, aren't we? And
true.
Self-storage, I don't worry about collecting their rent because we got their junk. So I like those two kinds of cash flow machines, and both of them are very, very, very little manpower involved at all. So
correct.
Going in the right direction there. Okay, so you're going to grow your business by adding more commercial to it. I can see that. You're going to target higher-priced properties, both pretty and ugly.
Yes.
I can see that. You're going to get more automated. I'll insist on that.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to work a lot less and force yourself to do what I keep training you to do, and that is make decisions and only make decisions and get everybody else to do everything else. Is that the long and the short of it?
That's correct.
Okay, so you can't say that real estate has made you millionaires yet, but maybe by
on paper,
the end.
On paper, how's that? Does that count?
Well, that counts. Sure,
okay.
That counts.
Well,
so you can say that it's made you a millionaire. But
twice in equity, yeah.
Yeah, well, you can expect the cash flow to go way up next year, so you'll really feel like millionaires and not have it all buried in equity.
Correct.
Okay. Well, let's say you get your cash flow fixed. I mean, it's not broken, but let's say you get to the point where you don't even think about that anymore. What are you going to do different? What's going to change when cash flow is no longer, well, at your age, cash flow will always be on your mind. I can tell you that. But let's say you get to the point where you don't need the money anymore. What changes in your life?
Well, personally, I'm involved in a lot of prison ministry and other ministries, and I would love to spend more time in doing ministries and then continue growing and expanding to bigger and more commercial real estate.
Okay. I hear from one of you.
Yeah, and on my end, I would look forward to spending a little more time with my family. I know my wife would like that some. And also, I would like to see us be able to focus on bigger deals that don't necessarily have to produce a immediate cash flow that, you know, longer term I would call retirement deals. And that would be an aspect I would like to see.
So when you want to get the cash flow fixed so it's many times more than you need to live on, you're going to focus on creating wealth and more longer-term deals. Man, at your age,
correct.
How many people think like that at your age? I haven't met any, just for the record.
You say we're rare?
Yeah, you're rare.
Weird.
Yeah, you're weird too. Do you have your IRA, Roth IRA set up?
No, we haven't got to that yet. Aaron's only got 10 times in the last 2 months, but we need to
do okay. At your age, don't worry about it. You're immortal. You don't need one of those anyway. Can you imagine what your Roth IRA is going to be worth by the time you turn 60? If you work on it now? Most easily in the 7 figures and very likely in the 8 figures. Just a thought.
Cool.
And all tax-free.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
like
listen, tell me if you can think of what's the biggest mistake you made so far?
Probably two combined in one, and this is just, I'm just opening up and being honest. Being young like I was, I honestly thought that when people told you they was going to pay, they would. And when they said they was going to sell you something, they would. And I quickly found out that what Ron said was true. Everybody's a liar.
That's not exactly what I said. I said the whole world is full of crap.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty much the same.
And secondly, probably it goes back to mindset, but believing that you actually could get 40, 50, 60 grand down on a house and it would be real. I just felt honored that somebody would deed me their house and I could buy a pretty house, you know, for 70 grand. And I felt, you know, like that was a huge favor of them to do for me. And getting over that mindset and realizing that you're doing them a huge favor and helping them out of a situation a lot of times
in the beginning, you probably made the same mistake that most people make is, and you were more in a begging mode and trying to convince them why you deserve for them to sell you their house. Is that pretty much true? Okay. And you got only that over that only by practice and training.
Yeah.
And now slowly slowly your attitude changed to, golly, if I feel like it, I might buy your house today if you give me the right answers.
Exactly right.
And if you don't, I don't care. I got a whole bunch of people behind you that will give me the right answers.
And our profitability started changing huge when we done that.
When you stopped begging, your profits went up. That should be
right.
A T-shirt, shouldn't it?
Hey, I'm not joking. I cannot tell you how many people I've told. I said, no problem if that don't work for you. You have a good day, and I would go to leave. And I have had them. In fact, one of our acquisitionists at one point had him chase him out to the end of the driveway in his car, trying to get him to buy the house after he had walked off. And I finally realized that a lot of times they'll come back to you if make the deal work.
If they want you, they want you.
Exactly.
In fact, yesterday I was just told that a deal we looked at a month ago, I literally went to the seller's house with my acquisitionist, and we made him, we finally agreed that I'd give the guy $20,000 down because he's giving me about $50,000 worth of equity in this beautiful house in this well-desirable neighborhood, and I know I'm going to raise the price and raise that up. He said no then. Well, amazingly, yesterday he said yes. So that's
nice.
What happens. Yeah, and he had tried to get me to give him more than 20, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And, in fact, I don't normally give 20, and I don't even know why I'm offering it to you. You must be special. So if you change your mind, you let me know, and that's exactly what he did. So, anyway, it took a while to get that attitude, didn't it, guys?
Yeah,
it did.
So what advice would you say you have for our listeners to maybe help them avoid some mistakes? What do you think is the most important thing for them to be thinking about?
I'll let you weigh in on that, Andrew. I did want to say, obviously, the biggest thing for me was to get over, and which age is not relatable to everybody, but I had to get over, my age, and I had to make sure I educated myself to counter that, which it did come. And the other thing on my end was to not let deals intimidate you. You know, with the mindset I came into the business from, it took me a little bit to realize, regardless of whether it's a $200,000 or $300,000, $400,000 deal, people are the same. We're all human. And, there's no need to let that intimidate you. That would be some of the biggest advice I would have.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. And you did have an age issue. You did have a credibility issue, or felt like you did, because of your age. And you got over that by changing your mindset, huh?
Yeah. And, listening to your training and, trying to get all the knowledge I could counter that.
All right. Okay. Anything else to add to that?
But well said. They was always shocked when I showed up because they usually estimate me to be much older on the phone. I don't know why. But when I'd show up, they'd be really shocked. And so I just took some, quite a bit of changes to deal with that. As was already been said, to make sure that you don't write out a check unless you're getting a bigger one in a few days or a few weeks in return. And for me to actually get that and put it into practice just took a lot of mindset change.
Very nice. All right, guys. Well, I'm not going to ask you to do that unless you want to, but if you want to, do you want to give out your contact phone number? And if not, don't. I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't. Because you actually might get a call or two if you do.
Sure.
Is that a yes or no?
Yeah, that's fine.
We
can do that.
Give it out.
Okay.
It's 812-303-8209.
Say it again.
It's the best. 812-303-8209.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today, and I know all of our listeners will do the same, and you are an inspiration to millions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for changing
you
our lives. I appreciate all you did.
I changed nothing. I just gave you the tools.
Well,
see you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.